Hey guys, it's Andy Kay and Robbie LaFaro again on the Don't Think Just Do podcast. Sorry, I just smacked my knee into the desk and I'm about to cry. Hey, so we had a bit of an idea, a topic to discuss, I suppose. For those who don't know, we actually work out of the biggest real estate agency space physical office in Australia. So Robbie, tell us how the hell that even happens. How did that story come to fruition?
I bought this business in March 2021, and I bought in and I started growing the business quickly. So, and by growth, I mean, I started recruiting other agents from other agencies and we started just hiring people. And after about 6 or 7 months, I think it was the end of 2021, I had 20 people in the office. And in our little, we had this tiny little office at the time. It was 150 square meters, something like that. And I had 16 desks and a little reception area. I literally had people sharing desks in this office. I remember that. And so like my desk was this tiny little like piece of furniture that we got from Amart All Sports because it was the smallest thing that we could make fit that kind of worked as a desk. So I remember everyone just being really crammed in and it was just time to find a bigger spot. The problem is we're with Harcourts and Harcourts, we had a franchise territory, which is Stafford. So that's the suburb we're in. And I had to stay in Stafford. So that was my parameter. So I had to go and look for a new, bigger commercial space to put an office in. And I started looking and all I could find was this little shoe shop that was attached to the office that we were in at the time. And the shoe shop would have added another 50 square meters. It was tiny. Mm. And so to take that, I reconfigured everything and I worked out I could fit another maybe 10 desks. So that would have given us a little bit more space at the time. But the problem is I realized, you know, it's only going to take a few more months and then we would have outgrown that too. So I had to do something. I had to find something bigger. And I remember somebody sent me as a joke, a link to the old Rebel Sports. So Rebel Sports, obviously the big retail giant. So somebody sent me that saying, well, Rebel Sports have moved. Why don't you look at this space?
And they're huge warehouses, aren't they?
Oh, it's ridiculous. So 1300 square meters. And I remember looking at that as a joke. And so, but I was curious. So I just called the agent actually that was representing it. I said, hey, just curious, how much is this space? And he goes, oh, it's about 25,000 per month plus outgoings plus GST. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Oh, thanks. I'll think about it. And he goes, well, actually, I'm going to be there this afternoon showing somebody else. Do you want to have a look? And from where the old office was, it's literally like a 2-minute walk. And I thought, oh, yeah, right, I got nothing on. I'll come and have a look. And I came down and had a look. The other people had already left. I think it was a gym that was looking at it, but it was too big for the gym. So the gym didn't want it. Wow. And he showed me through and I remember we were just walking around the building. And when I walked in, it was literally just a giant room. It has really high ceilings. It's about 4.5 meter ceilings. And it was just a big empty room. That's it. Literally like a warehouse because they'd taken all their fixtures out. Everything was gone. So it was a big, big space. And he said to me, he goes, look, I've just got to make a few calls. Let me just step outside. I said, yeah, okay. And he stepped out and I'm just walking around the space, just looking, going, I wonder what I could do here. And I could almost picture it. I was like, oh, geez, it'd be cool if I could have this place. And I pictured where I would put things, where I'd put desks and where the reception was going to go and a big boardroom and all this sort of stuff. And he then came in, this agent, and he says, I've got to go, but look, you're in real estate anyway. I'll give you the keys. You just hold on to them. I'm going to be back tomorrow and I'll pick them up. And I said, oh, okay, sure. So he gave me the keys. He showed me how to lock up. So he locked up and I went back to the office and I just started, I went straight back to my desk, my little tiny shoebox desk. And I just started drawing and I drew the floor plan for the office just straight out of my head because I could just picture it. I had so much space to work with. So whatever I wanted to do was going to work. And I started thinking about it and I was like, maybe I could do this. Maybe I could, like 25 grand a month, you know, plus fees and everything. It's all up, it's about 30 a month. And I was like, maybe I could do it. And I remember talking to other business owners at the time and they were like, you're an idiot. That's ridiculous. My accountant said, that's just stupid. Find something else. My lawyer said, no, you're an idiot. But I guess it comes back to the theme of this podcast. Don't think, just do. And I really, you know, in hindsight, it was probably a risk that, you know, I shouldn't have taken because it was reckless, but I just did it. I negotiated and I think it was probably less than 2 weeks later, I'd signed a lease. And I remember I called the CEO of Harcourts and I said, hey, can you come and meet me at my office? I want to have a chat to you. And he said, yeah, okay. So he came down, He met me at the office and I said, we're going for a walk. So we walked down to what was at the time the old Rebel Sports, and I opened it up and we're just standing in this giant empty room. And he's like, what are we doing here? And I said, this is my new office. And he's like, what? He's what, like a part of it? Like where's the walls? I'm like, no, the whole thing. And he said, but why? And it's because, I don't know, because it'll be cool. Imagine how cool this will be. I'll grow into it. And he was like, he goes, but how much is it? I said, well, it's 25 grand a month plus outgoings plus GST. And he's like, but you can't afford that. I said, yeah, I know. He goes, so what are you going to do? I said, well, I've negotiated 6 months rent free. And he goes, okay, so what do you do in 6 months?
Did you actually?
Literally, yeah. I got 6 months rent free.
That's cool.
Signed a 10-year lease to get it, which I'm still in. And
locked in.
Yeah, look, only 8 years to go. But I signed I got a six-month rent-free period. And he said, what happens in 6 months when you're going to start paying rent? And I said, well, I've got 6 months to be able to afford it. And he said, you're an idiot. I don't think you should do it. And I said, I already signed the lease. And he's like, shit, okay, well, we better get to work then.
Wow.
And to his credit, he was very supportive. And they actually, they helped us out with some of the signage stuff. But yeah, I did the fit out myself. My brother and I, Chris, we did the fit out because we're somewhat handy. And so I guess what I'm trying to get at is I did it because I backed myself into a corner. I gave myself 6 months to be able to make it work. If I couldn't afford it in 6 months, then I would have to declare bankruptcy to get out of the lease. The business would fold, everyone would lose their jobs. And I think having that pressure made me have to succeed. I had to turn up every day. I had to do everything that I needed to do. We moved in January 2022, and that first 6 months was horrible. Like, it was a lot of work. It was a lot of stress. Everything. Yeah, it was a terrible time, but I got through it, and I just had to keep recruiting. And I recruited a lot more agents. I did training all the time to get the agents that we had to be writing bigger numbers. And yeah, 6 months later, the first rent bill came in, and I paid it. It's been that way ever since.
Oh, that's really cool. I actually did not know that entire
story. You didn't know
story.
That?
No.
Really?
No, I actually didn't know that. That's really, really cool. I suppose it fits perfectly with the theme of the podcast. So I know you pretty well personally now. We've got to know each other over the last couple of years, but I've noticed risk-taking is huge in everything that you do. You know, obviously there's a, you know, small amount of calculation that you have to do before you take the risk. I mean, we're certainly not advocates of jumping in blindly in any sense, but at the end of the day, risk-taking is paramount, right?
Yeah, and like if I hadn't done that, I think it's not that I would never have succeeded or anything like that, but I think doing it helped me show people that, you know, we were serious. I mean, really, the office was only, we only had 20 people. And I think we weren't doing massive numbers, but we were growing quickly and people could see that. But I think what showed everyone that I was serious was taking on this giant lease and doing the fit out. And, you know, the signage looks really good from the front. The fit out, it's not, you know, it's not super fancy, but it's just big and impressive. And so when I would bring an agent from another agency in to have a look, it's just bigger and grander, and it just looks like, holy shit, these guys are the real deal.
And the funniest part is that right next door to us is another real estate agency about 1/6 of the size.
Yeah. And look, at the time they were actually doing bigger business than us. They were beating us.
Yeah, true.
Hands down. But by taking on the risk, it's not just about having a big space and that's what helped me grow. It was putting myself in a position where I had to succeed. There was no other option. I just had to do whatever it took. I had to, you know, I still do it now, but every day up at 6, get to the office 6:30, I'd be on my computer doing all the paperwork that I'd have to do early. Then people start rolling in from about 7:30. So I had to be on every day, no matter what. I can't have a bad day. That's just not an option. You know, I teach the team that now. If you want to succeed, you can't have bad days. That's just not a thing. You have to, you can't let a bad moment turn into a bad day. Sometimes shit happens. Sometimes bad things happen that aren't what you expected or what you planned, but you just have to move forward and power through it. And I think for me, it was huge putting myself under that kind of pressure because I didn't have a choice. I had to succeed.
Do you think that everyone can operate like that in the sense of jumping in and then having to figure it out along the way?
I don't know. That's a really good question. But I think if I can do it, why can't anyone else?
Yeah.
I don't have any special skills or degrees or anything like that. I mean, I've always been a reasonable salesperson, but that's kind of the extent of my skills. I dropped out of high school. Like, I don't know any different. So for me, it was, you just have to want it. And like Andy, you know, obviously now since you've been here, you've seen we hire hundreds of people every year.
Absolutely.
I literally hired well over 100 people last year, and maybe half of them actually stick around. And yeah. and that's because some people just don't have it. They don't have that drive or that motivation or the willingness to do what it takes to succeed. And
to just do.
Yeah, to just do. Yeah. Like people think about it for too long.
And look, I mean, myself, I suppose until I kind of met you and we started bouncing ideas off each other, I suppose you really helped me with a lot of this part of my life in terms of just doing. Learning from you has been really cool. I suppose I was one of those people as well, where I would overthink and overcalculate and actually never end up doing anything, or even worse, start a million things all at once and never complete them. Have you ever been like that, where you've kind of gone into a project or something where you've started, or you're starting multiple things at a time, but you're not seeing it through to the end?
I have. One of my biggest issues, I take on way too much all at once.
Yeah. Like spreading yourself too thin.
Yeah. I spread myself very thin, but I guess I've always been good at prioritizing. I know what I need to do. Yeah. I know what's going to get me where I want to be. And I've never planned. I've never decided I'm going to do it this way and this is how things have to go and I'm going to follow a certain plan and whatever. No, it's always been, if I want to succeed, I just have to keep pushing. I've got to keep doing things. I've got to be the hardest worker in the room, no matter what.
Yeah.
Sometimes I do take on too much, but I prioritize and I get done the things that need to get done.
Yeah, that's cool. I think something that you always say that's kind of stuck with me is you can't, you know, when everyone talks about managing time and managing their time, it's like you can't manage time. You can only manage your priorities.
Right? Yeah.
You can only prioritize tasks. Time will get away from you. And what I've learned from that personally is the tasks that were low priority, as time goes along, those low priority tasks will then become high priority tasks, which will then need to take first priority. So that's really cool.
Definitely. So rather than setting yourself an ideal week, that's a thing we hear a lot, ideal week or an ideal day, or this is exactly what I should do for the day or whatever, trying to plan everything out. Don't plan in time increments because you set yourself up to fail. Because the minute you don't achieve one of those things, or you don't do something that's on your calendar or whatever, or something comes up that you have to deal with more urgently, you just won't get everything done and it makes you feel terrible. A better way to operate is to have a to-do list,
right?
And just have the to-do list. And if you're disciplined and you say, I will not finish the day until I've completed these tasks, as long as you stick to it and you complete those tasks, you'll succeed. And then a big tip for that is to write your to-do list for tomorrow the day before.
Cool. So you recommend writing the to-do list maybe the night before or after you finished work for the next day, right?
Yeah.
Because you obviously know what tasks you have at hand to complete for the next day. That's your tip?
Yep. And then then you even you go further. So it's not just a daily to-do list. You have projects.
Yeah.
So what things need to be completed. And then you have like a quarterly or a yearly to-do list, things that I need to achieve or accomplish or get done this month, this quarter, this year, whatever it is, right? And so, you know, going back to this new building that we've got, so the fit out. That was a priority because I realized I can't chew into this 6 month rent free period fitting things out. So I signed the lease in November, and I think the official start date for it was the 1st of December. So I was like, I want to only use a month worth of my free time in fit out.
This is for the new real estate office that you're opening.
No, this is for this one that we're in right now.
Right, okay.
Yeah, the big one. So when I couldn't afford it. And I got 6 months rent free. A month of that was chewed up in fit out.
Oh wow!
Whereas had I delayed that and taken longer, then 3 months could have been to fit out, and then I don't have any time to grow the business and be able to afford it. So prioritizing was huge.
Really good. It's something I've definitely implemented in my daily business activities as a real estate agent. Is having my ideal week is funny. I've got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday all the way through, right? Every day, but there are no time blocks. There are just tasks that I have to complete on each day because I know those days require those tasks.
Yep.
And I just get them done. And it's insane when you actually just remove the times of the day from those days, and you've just got a list and with boxes for me to tick.
Yeah.
For example, it removes so much pressure from time management or whatever the hell that is, and it just becomes prioritization. And if you do logistically end up forgetting to do one low priority task the next day, it's got to get done. Otherwise, shit crumbles.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought that was a cool story to share. And I think, really it really was just, to me, one of the proudest things I've done and the ultimate don't think, just do.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a huge risk that you took, and it paid off because you just took action and did what you needed to do. You had a vision, hey, like you said, and executed it. Well, we will be back, obviously, on another podcast episode, and we'll look forward to chatting to you then.